Hi, I'm John Jackson.
And I'm Greg Patent.
And we're the food guys. One of the interesting flavors that we encounter, especially seasonally, is the caramel flavor.
We tend to associate caramel with candy,
you know,
and with syrups
candied
and sauces. Yes, candied apples. Basically, caramel is derived from sugar, heated up.
Yeah.
It melts. You can do all kinds of things with it once it's melted. It's not only true of candy making, because when we're talking about regular cooking, the whole process of caramelization takes place practically every time we do cook. For instance, if you're sautéing onions.
Yes.
And you're getting this wonderful changing color and great aroma, and you're tasting it and you eat it, it's got a caramel flavor. And that's from the sugars that have been reacting with amino acids in the food itself. But that is the Maillard reaction.
Yes.
Okay, when sugars and amino acids react, they produce all kinds of flavorful compounds, which is called the Maillard reaction. Now, we've talked about the Maillard reaction before, but let's review.
Yes.
Okay, so it's a chemical reaction between amino acids and reducing sugars that gives browned food its desirable flavor. That's the Maillard reaction. Caramelization is different.
Yes.
It is simply the oxidation of sugar. It's a process used extensively in cooking for the resulting nutty flavor and brown color. So when you're cooking the onions in a skillet, you're getting a combination of both the Maillard reaction and a caramelization reaction.
They typically go pretty much hand in hand.
They go hand in hand a lot.
And the Maillard comes into effect a little bit later in the process, don't you think?
Well, yeah. If you're baking bread, for example, a browning effect on the loaf and that nice crustiness, that's due to the Maillard reaction.
Yeah.
But the caramelization, and the term is thrown around too loosely, I think.
I think it is, too. I was curious about when I reviewed it, how necessary it was to attend to what you were doing and not be stirring it constantly, but watching it, kind of swirling it. What are we talking about? What substance are we talking about? We'll take some sugar and put it in water and put it in a pan and put it on medium heat, right?
And then you can boil it to drive off the water. The sugar changes and becomes a caramel. But if we're talking about cooking food and doing the caramelization reaction, we want that food to stay in contact with the skillet and any fat that's in it without interrupting it or disturbing it for a while.
Yeah.
Because then there's time for the actual caramelization process to occur.
Yeah.
Okay.
But don't neglect it.
Yeah, so that's the oxidation of the sugar.
Because it can happen in a flash that it moves from one stage
to the fatal stage.
That's
true. If you've ever made candy and you've actually melted sugar in a skillet on top of the stove, it takes several minutes for this to happen. And if it's an amber color, which is what you want for a caramel,
you're
going to be
for.
Using it to line a mold or something. Within a few degrees, it can go to black,
yes.
Which means it's pure carbon and you don't want to have anything to do with that. Well, you have to wait till it cools down because it's very hot. But the caramelization process, I think, is so handy when you're doing vegetables. And carrots are great because they're so loaded with sugar.
Yeah.
And those sugars caramelize, they oxidize quite nicely with butter or olive oil. And then they have a nice crusty brown on it. This can happen in the oven, too. It needs a heat. So think of the veggies that you can caramelize.
Well, you can, I think, onions, cottage fries of potatoes.
And the potatoes, yes, the cottage fries.
I mean, all those things, we forget the fact that those are sugars in those
carbohydrates.
They're
sugars that are getting cooked and turning crispy. Dorothy does a tremendous potato pancake.
Yeah.
But it's incredibly thin.
Uh-huh.
It's maybe an eighth of an inch thick. And she spreads the raw potatoes out in a skillet with a goodly amount of olive oil that's heated. When she puts the potatoes in, there's this wonderful sizzling sound. Then she spreads it out very, very thin, and then she covers the skillet and lets it cook for maybe 5 to 8 minutes on a medium heat. Then she'll check it, and it'll be all lovely and evenly browned on that side, and then she flips it over and cooks it for another 5 to 8 minutes, and it is the crunchiest, most delicious thing. And it's all from the caramelization.
The caramelization is what actually does it. I think it's interesting if you just made a caramel sauce.
Mm-hmm.
It really educates you about how treacherous this can be.
How treacherous this whole process can be.
If you put a cup of sugar into a quarter cup of water and added a little bit of lemon juice or something like that, and you're looking at it and it's cooking, it goes to a boil pretty quickly, and then all of a sudden, bam, it's gone the other way, you know. You got to attend to what you're doing. And another thing to attend to is
the food guys.